You're listening to Mornings with the Mayor on Talk 1260 KTRC.
Good morning. This is Mayor Koss, and you're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I want to thank everyone for tuning in today and listening to Mornings with the Mayor. Elections are coming up quicker and quicker. So our guest this morning, our first guest this morning, is with the League of Women Voters, Marcy Litzenberg. I think probably most of us in Santa Fe know Marcy from her work with the League and her work with the school board, and her son is the deputy fire chief and this and that. But Marcy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I have to say that it used to be that people recognized the last name Litzenberg because of me and what I had done. And these days, it happens to me a lot that when somebody hears my name, they say, oh, are you related to the fire chief?
Yeah, yeah. It's for the longtime families in Santa Fe, it's kind of interesting, fun to watch, because I used to be Ron Koss's son.
Yeah.
And then Ron Koss became the mayor's dad. And now I'm starting to be called Celedina's dad because my daughter is very active in the Human Rights Alliance and the Southwest Care Center. And they're like, oh, are you Celedina's dad?
That's so, the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. But I got a kick out of it one day at we were at Frenchie's, and the parks workers were like, that's Mr. Koss's dad. And it was a generational change because I had always been Mr. Koss's son. So my dad liked that too. But anyway, Santa Fe stories. But really appreciate you coming on the show today. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the League of Women Voters and their voter guide, and give people as much information we can in the next couple of segments about how and when and why to vote. But we won't tell them who to vote for because it's the League of Women Voters.
We don't do that.
Yeah. So tell us just a little bit about the League in Santa Fe.
Well, the League has been in existence since 1920 when women got the vote, and it was an outgrowth of that. There was a little lapse here in Santa Fe, but last year we celebrated our 50th birthday as the Santa Fe branch of the League of Women Voters.
Congratulations, 50 years.
It's really remarkable how long there have been these, you know, women, and I'm one of them, who feel like we need to make our voices heard and we need to have an influence on policy, and have worked to do that. I have to say, getting a little bit harder because of the demographic changes that we've had. In that I think for many, many years, there were a lot of very well-educated, smart, active women that weren't working full-time.
Right.
And that just isn't the case anymore.
All women work now.
So,
not that they weren't working before, but
two
and three jobs now.
Exactly. So kind of the backbone of the League is changing, and we're having, you know, kind of our old fogey members like me are having to learn how to reach out to younger women and give them opportunities to become active. So we are doing things like having a Facebook page and sending out e-blasts about election issues.
Very important. I mean, the whole way of communicating is changing with the technology and Facebook and Twitter and email.
That's right. So it, you know, can be a little hard to teach old dogs new tricks, especially when those tricks involve technology. But we're doing our best to keep up with it. We have a core membership of about 150 people in Santa Fe County. And if you boil it down to who really has the time to be active, it's a very small group, and we get a lot done.
You really do.
We really do, especially leading up to the election. This is for someone like me. I'm the voter services chair, and that means that my responsibility amps up during election time or prior to election time, and especially with a general election. So my job was to begin this summer as soon as we found out who was going to be on the ballot and what issues were going to be on the ballot, and that's easier said than done. You'd think it would be easy, but it's not, because candidates have to be certified before you can actually assume that they will be on the ballot. Issues that are going to be on the ballot, like constitutional amendments and bond issues, have to have their legal wording crafted before you can begin talking about them.
Right.
So all summer long, I was gathering information on candidates at the state and local level, who will run for positions where voters from Santa Fe County, even just a few voters from Santa Fe County, will have an opportunity to vote in that election. And once we have nailed down what's going to be on the ballot, we try to reach out to all of the candidates that are local candidates, either running for federal position that represents us here in Santa Fe, state level senators, representatives, and then local people, particularly in the elections where it is focused on local. And we make sure that we craft some questions to ask them that we think they can use in order to get their, kind of introduce people to themselves and get their basic positions out in the public. And then we compile all that information, throw in a little bit of general information like where the polling places are going to be and who the uncontested candidates on the ballot will be. And we produce a voter's guide, which usually comes out about a month before the election.
So this voter's guide has been out, I think it was in the New Mexican?
It was in the New Mexican.
That was in September, wasn't it, or late September?
Late September is when we submitted it, and it was in the paper on October 2nd.
Very good.
And the reason we do that is that so many people are doing early voting now. So we.
I heard last night 120,000 people have already voted in New Mexico.
I think it's almost a record-setting early voting experience this year.
Yeah.
This is good because that means that on election day you won't have to wait as long in the line, and you have maybe a little more time to think. You don't feel pressured to make your decision quickly and fill in the little circles quickly and all of that. But you mentioned the New Mexican. That they had distributed this, and I really want to give them credit. This is the first time, as far as I'm aware, that the New Mexican was an equal partner in producing this voter guide.
Oh, really?
We've had to pay to have them printed and distributed in the past. This time around, the New Mexican did all of the formatting of it. They designed it, and they printed it and distributed it, and they gave the league full control over the content of it. There was not a single suggestion.
That's a great community service.
That absolutely is, and I hope that they get the kudos that they deserve, because this was a real sign of commitment to the community and getting the word out. And so I'm trying to make sure that your listeners hear that.
Give thanks to the New Mexican for making this voter guide available.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're also available, and I want to make sure people know this too, at every one of the public libraries in Santa Fe and at the El Dorado Public Library, at the reference desk. There should be a stack of them in case people didn't see it when it came in the New Mexican or haven't kept it and want to be able to look back and refer to it before they go to vote.
Sounds great.
It is great.
So you yourself and probably a handful of volunteers have put this voter guide together.
That's correct. It's a lot of work. And, you know more about politics than I do, Mayor. And you know that if a candidate feels like you're doing them a service in getting the word out to the public, they're very cooperative with what you're trying to do. But some candidates, one in particular I'm thinking of that was for this voter guide, have been in office so long that they're not technologically adept. And when the legislature isn't in session and they don't have a secretary in an office working for them, they don't pick up email, they don't answer their campaign phone. And I remember in the last general election, one of the candidates lived so far out that he did not have any kind of cell phone access where he lived. No email. You couldn't even call him on the phone unless he happened to be in a hot spot. So it's a new challenge for me to try to reach out to candidates who really want to be involved, but I can't figure out how to do it short of going to their house and knocking on the door.
How to get a hold of them.
Yeah, but I would do that.
No, I know in the times I've run for office, it's very, very important to get your statement to the League of Women Voters. You would hate to think of, if you're in a contested race anyway, you'd hate to think of having an empty space there in the League of Women Voters Guide.
Absolutely, and I think people rightfully would read something into that.
Yeah, no, it's we worked hard to make sure we didn't have an empty space any time that I was running for office on the Voters Guide. I just want to again say we're talking with Marcy Litzenberg from the League of Women Voters. Early voting is occurring already, and so I really appreciate the League of Women Voters putting out this voter guide. And if you haven't voted yet, check it out, and then please vote. We're going to come back right after this break. We'll be talking with Marcy Litzenberg from the League of Women Voters.
Kitchen Angels is a home-delivered meal program serving free, nourishing meals to homebound individuals. For more information about Kitchen Angels, go to SantaFe.com, keyword Kitchen Angels.
If I can reach the stars. All right, this is Mayor Kossin. We're back on Talk 1260. We've been talking with Marcy Litzenberg, who's a representative of the Santa Fe League of Women Voters. I want to thank you for your work and the women, the league. For their work, and I need to point out, men can join the League of Women Voters too, can't they?
Absolutely. I was just about to ask you if you're a member.
I'm not, but...
Well, I'm going to get a registration form to you.
Get signed up. I knew I shouldn't have asked that question.
Absolutely.
But I think that's important to know, and one of the things that I just wanted to say, when you mentioned that women didn't get the right to vote until 1920, that's historically speaking, that's less than 100 years ago. It's so I'm always a little saddened when somebody says, I'm not even going to vote, because I think of what women went through to just to get the right to vote, what African Americans have gone through, what Native Americans have gone through, what immigrants have gone through, just to be able to vote.
I absolutely agree with you. When you see people in the Middle East giving their lives up and standing in Tahrir Square in the middle of the night, shaking a fist, knowing they might get shot, to have the right to have a say in their government, it makes you feel ashamed that so many of us choose not even
just
to
not
make our
vote.
Voices heard.
Well, and you got to remember that, was it Susan B. Anthony and Katie Stanton that were working on this in the 1800s, never actually saw it. They themselves never, ever got to vote.
Exactly.
And finally in 1920, about 90 years ago, that's when they finally got
that's
the
right
to vote. So
I think there's some trends right now that are encouraging. Back before the general election in 2008, there was a huge countrywide effort to get more people registered to vote. And the activism at that time has carried through. So with the voter registration activities that we do here in Santa Fe as the League, we're finding more and more that somebody has already been there. The places we used to go, like the farmers market and hanging out at in front of churches in town, more and more, it turns out that other people who are perhaps representing a party or perhaps representing a point of view have been there and registered voters already, which is fine because you don't have to commit to anything when you register to vote. You get to make up your mind independently. And so our voter registration efforts have really dovetailed with what statistics are showing about the number of people who are registered to vote, particularly with younger voters and minority voters. There's been a great increase in registration percentage registered from those categories. And now we just need to focus on getting them to vote.
Sure, sure. So
exercise that option.
Yeah. So if people hearing this, it's Saturday. It's a little more than a week before the election. And early voting is becoming a bigger feature of
it
our elections.
Is.
And I wanted to ask if you've got the information for people on my encouragement is don't wait till election day. Go vote.
I couldn't agree more. So let me mention where the early voting sites are. During the work week, the early voting site in the county administration building on the corner of Palace and Grant is where a lot of people go to vote. It's on the second floor of that building in the room that's used for the county commission meetings. Between Tuesday and all through Saturdays, there are some other remote sites that are open. Santa Fe Fairgrounds is one of them, the El Dorado Senior Center, the Edgewood Fire Station, the Pewaukee County Satellite Office, and of course the Santa Fe County Clerk's Office, which I already mentioned. One thing that people should know is that you do not have to go to any one of these in particular. You can go to anyone that's convenient for you. As opposed to when you get to the day of election, you have to go to the polling place for the precinct that is your precinct. So it's very convenient if you just happen to be in the downtown area or if you live somewhere out on Rodeo or Airport Road and you're going out shopping, drop by the fairgrounds, cast your vote.
And you, regardless of what precinct you live in, you can go to the fairgrounds or you can go to El Dorado or Pewaukee. And there's one in Espanola, too, right, in the Sombrio area?
That one, this time around, they aren't using
Oh, they aren't using that one. Okay.
I think had something to do with how many people had actually used it in the last election.
And what are the hours, say, if I was just over at the Ford dealership and a woman there was hoping she'd get some time to vote?
Well,
said, well, you can vote on Saturday. And she goes,
yes,
oh, I have to work on Saturday.
That's right.
I thought,
that's
so what
right.
are the hours on Saturday?
Tuesday through Friday, it's 12 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
And on Saturday, it's 10 to 6 p.m. But if you go to the county courthouse, the voting there is during regular working hours.
That's just
hours.
8 to 5, Monday
yeah,
through
5.
Friday.
And it is not open on Saturdays, so it's not open today.
Right.
But it will be open on one Saturday, and that is the last Saturday
last
prior
Saturday.
To the election. And that will be the last day that you can do early voting or get an absentee ballot.
But if you want to vote today on a Saturday, you can vote till 6 o'clock today.
Absolutely. To any one of the places except for the county courthouse.
Except for the courthouse downtown. So right. Go by the fairgrounds if you're in El Dorado. Go by
senior
out
center.
There at the Senior Center, the Patty Adams Senior Center, and vote. I really do think that's an important message to put out this time around this year.
I do too. I mean, we have a trend going with a higher percentage of people voting, but there's still a real split between the percentage of adult voters that go to vote or older adult voters, 30
sure.
and up, versus younger people, 18
right.
to 30. And, you know, we know that young people have a lot on their minds. You know, it's pretty typical that you don't get it how important this stuff is until you're older. But I think that the fact that we have so many more registered voters in that young category is a good sign. And now let's get their voices heard.
Absolutely. It's a way to get your voice heard, to count and to go out and vote. One of the things, I think New Mexico's got a pretty good record. You see what I consider efforts at voter suppression, photo IDs, scare tactics. Are we seeing much of that in New Mexico?
Well, we hope not. You know, it's certainly been, there have been some complaints made about it. And occasionally it seems like there's something that is voter suppression, but it turns out to be, you know, that it was just a misunderstanding on the part of the judges at the polls or something like that. I want voters to know, though, that when you go to the polls, at least ask for a provisional ballot if they tell you you can't vote, that you're not on the rolls. If you believe you are eligible to vote and registered to vote and they don't have your name on the list, you make sure that you cast your vote before you leave the polling place. They may send you to a different precinct, and that's a different story. That means you're going to your own precinct.
Right.
But be sure to insist on casting a vote.
All right. Well, Marcy, I want to thank you for being on today, and I want to encourage everyone to check out the League of Women Voters Voter Guide. Thank you for doing that, and everybody, go vote.
Thank you, Mayor Koss. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks a lot.
Love I have inside is everything it seems. But for now, I find.
All right, we're back, and we've got another guest on today's show. It's a little unusual. I have two guests on different topics today, but I want to now welcome Kate Noble from the City of Santa Fe's Economic Development Group. Kate, welcome back. You've been on this show a few times.
I've been on this show a few times. I like your show. And, you know, today we're making you take a big sort of handbrake turn from League of Women Voters to economic development and business development. So
go vote, go vote, go vote.
But, go vote. It matters to economic development, too.
It matters to economic development. Good transition. You're really good at transition statements.
And, used to be a broadcaster.
Yeah. So there were some notes in the State of the City speech about this new project that the city's doing with the business community called the Velocity Project.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to just talk about that in Santa Fe. Why?
I'm really excited about this project. It's kind of the next iteration of business development for the City of Santa Fe. We have had the Angelou Plan in 2004, which was adopted by the City Council. We had the Implementation Plan in 2008, which was also adopted by the City Council. And in 2012, we sort of sifted all of this input from the Forum on Jobs that you hosted, Mayor, as well as an existing economy committee, a future economy committee. And we looked at it for 2004, 2008, 2012 input, and everything pointed to entrepreneurship. So we then sort of looked around and said, okay, how do you develop entrepreneurship? Maybe it's not the big recruiting game anymore. It's more about cultivating the homegrown businesses that can hire 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people or more. But if you have a lot of businesses hiring a couple people, you get to real job creation. And actually, when we looked at it and having listened to our own input from all these different sources out in the community, and we looked around the country, everybody's doing it. It's one of the things that the recession has made common amongst lots of different cities throughout, is that they've realized their greatest strength are their small businesses, and that adding those 2, 3, 4 jobs can be just as powerful when you do it over and over again as bringing in one big company where you often have to give away a lot of incentives or something like that, and it's less sustainable and they don't have the loyalty to a community. So the Velocity Project is basically what is being known as an accelerator model. It's a business boot camp. 6 companies are going to be selected to go through the boot camp, which will run from mid-January to mid-March, and they will learn all sorts of key skills, whether it be marketing, financial management, management of staff, that sort of thing, manufacturing processes, from entrepreneurs themselves. A big ethos around the Velocity Project is that entrepreneurs should learn from other entrepreneurs who have done it before. Makes sense?
That makes a lot of sense. I was just thinking about the concept of velocity.
Yeah, or it is the idea.
It's accelerating what the city's been doing, what the actual community has been doing. We've had some nice examples of great examples of entrepreneurs starting things in Santa Fe, and That's how we got Caterpillar in Santa Fe. That's so many.
And Michael
businesses.
Roach has been a key advisor. He's the gentleman who started, as you know, Clean Air Systems, which was bought by Caterpillar and is now, I think, Caterpillar Clean Air Systems officially. And they are actually adding jobs at the moment because they got a big contract. Wow, I just remembered something I need to do. Okay. regarding that. But Michael's going to be one of the entrepreneurs because he actually, he retired after doing a transition to Caterpillar's ownership. And now he's still got a lot of energy. It's one thing about entrepreneurs, and especially the really good ones, they have a lot of energy. They want to work hard. And Michael is kind of tireless. So he's been advising on this. But yeah, to some extent.
Yeah, I thought he went to France. He just didn't stay very long.
He didn't stay that long. He went to Italy, I think it was, for about a month. But he's back now and you know, working out and taking hikes and enjoying life. He when I see him, he often says, you know, yeah, I have a rough life now. but the idea is entrepreneurs like Michael, they aren't going to be stopped no matter what. But what we want to do in business development is tie rockets to them, make it happen faster. If they were going to make a big success in 5 years, can we do it in two? And, you know, you're not necessarily going to create something out of nothing because a lot of businesses fail for a lot of different reasons. And it probably comes down to management and who's behind it. The Velocity Project has said that there's a real emphasis on the team of people and how they work together. And that's really what makes successful businesses. But it hopefully can also play in the gray area where a business might succeed or fail. But if they get good advice, that tips them to the balance of success and good coaching around whatever it is. I mean, most businesses don't have the financial management savvy, most startup businesses, and that's the reason many fail, is that they don't know how to look at their numbers and make things sustainable. That's a gross generalization, but it's generally
so
true.
They could learn from some of the mistakes and some of the successes of people like Michael Roach and others.
Yes, and sometimes, you know, venture capitalists are fond of saying, or at least were when venture capital was the thing, they'd much rather invest in someone who started one, maybe even two businesses and failed and is trying again because they've learned hard lessons and they know where they went wrong. And you often learn more from failure than you do from success.
I've heard that before. It's still no fun.
Right. Yeah.
So what kind of businesses or approaches do you expect to see coming into the...
Well, this is a pilot project, and really what we're trying to do is figure out how an accelerator model could work, and indeed if it can work successfully for Santa Fe. A lot of accelerators are really geared towards technology. One of the most well-known ones is Techstars in Boulder, and technology companies are very prone to moving fast. It's a good match for technology. But in Santa Fe, we have lots of other types of businesses, of course. And one of the things that has emerged again and again is that we do need to look to our artisan entrepreneurs. The foundation of art and this place as an artist's mecca, if you will, is an advantage we have. And there are creative people out there, designers who can start companies and, you know, become entrepreneurs. But that's often, entrepreneurs are hard to coach anyway, so goes the conventional wisdom. And when you add in the layer of them being artists, whew. But we're hoping to get a good match. We want to figure out how to work with artisan entrepreneurs really effectively. The city's Arts Commission has been working on that and has learned a lot over the years. But we also hope to look at technology companies, green technology companies in particular, maybe media companies, and especially in the first cohort that is designed to be that we learn while doing, we figure out how to do this well. We hope to get a really good cross-section of industries in Santa Fe because that'll give us a more robust set of recommendations, set of observations in terms of what entrepreneurs needed and what was exciting helpful during the course of the business bootcamp.
And I would think there are some themes that, you know, whether you're doing healthcare technology or green nursery technology, there's some principles around financing, around management, around business plan development.
Absolutely.
That everybody would benefit from knowing a little bit about.
Yeah. And a lot of the existing service providers are going to be participating in some fashion. And by that, I mean the Small Business Development Center, the Santa Fe Business Incubator, SCORE, WestCorp. They're going to come in and give what we call Ignite-style presentations. In other words, 5 minutes, they have to go really fast and furious. And then they've also asked that the service providers bring in entrepreneurs themselves who benefited from their knowledge. So somebody who worked well with the SBDC or SCORE.
Mm-hmm. I'm always impressed when you list the small business assistance that's available in this area, in this region, that there's quite a lot. Maybe this Velocity program really helps to focus some of that.
And I think it'll help to bring them together. That was actually a part of the RFP, because there's a lot of disconnect. And by nature of it being a sort of condensed program, only 8 weeks, this is a chance also to sort of develop excitement. And the existing service providers, I hope, will feel that. A lot of them have said, we need something to connect us. We need a way to plug in. And the nature of the Velocity Project is going to be pretty good for that, I think.
And if you're sitting at home or in your car and you're listening to this show and you want to apply or you want to be part of the Velocity Project, do you call Kate or how do you do it?
TheVelocityProject.com is where, because the applications now are open. They opened, I believe, yesterday or earlier this week, actually. And you can, it's a pretty simple application, just asking questions about your team, what you want to do, and crucially, how it will benefit Santa Fe's economy.
Sure.
Why
your business matters. How does it fit in? How will it grow? And then some of the jobs that can come out of it.
Yeah.
I liked the line that we had in the State of the City speech about providing not just jobs for themselves, but jobs for other people.
Absolutely.
As well in the town.
Twos, threes, fours, even ones. It's great. Job creation.
Absolutely. So we've been talking with Kate Noble. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about economic development in Santa Fe and the Velocity Project. Everybody, please stay tuned.
It's only in my dreams that I can change.
Support our rivers with help from RiverSource. For more info, go to santafe.com, keyword RiverSource.
And we're back for our final segment. I want to, again, thank everyone for listening to Mornings with the Mayor. I really appreciate the feedback I get from folks when I'm out and about in town. We're talking with Kate Noble from the city's Economic Development Group and a new great project, the Velocity Project. The applications are open now to apply. So, Kate, where does this lead? What's the final steps and events on the Velocity Project?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of big hopes around what this can do, and now we're just focused on working on the pilot project and getting from it some really good recommendations as to what's needed in the business development landscape, because, as you mentioned earlier, Mayor, there is a lot going on out there, and we do have a lot of assistance available, but, again, they've been sort of disconnected, and I talked a little bit about some of the recommendations that came from various different sources that we analyzed, sifted, and sort of did the next iteration of strategic direction for economic development to really focus around entrepreneurial development. One of the key things that came out of that information sifting from all these sources was also the importance of excitement around entrepreneurship, the importance of people feeling like, you know, perception is reality, feeling like this is a place where businesses can grow and thrive. It goes back to the phrase that's sort of well-worn over decades, a business-friendly environment. We are trying to cultivate a place where businesses feel supported, they feel valued, they feel a sense of possibility around what they can do here. And so again, the process around the Velocity Project, we had a really good proposal. We put out an RFP for what we called a sort of entrepreneurial fellowship program, the idea being around fellowships where maybe entrepreneurs get a moment to leave the rest of life and focus on developing their business, just the way an artist, you know, often goes somewhere to work on a fellowship to work on a particular art project or something like that. Having said that, I should say it's designed actually for people who have real jobs and real familial needs. So it's nights, weekends over the course of 8 weeks. But it all culminates in Demo Day, which is, it's stolen from Techstars. That's what they call it at the end of their coaching session. And obviously it's meant to be a demonstration, and the companies are really at the forefront of that. So all of them will give a presentation. It'll be open to the community. And they will, you know, to some extent talk about their company, what they've learned, and a key thing that the Velocity Project folks will be working with each business on is a 100-day action plan. What are you doing for the next 100 days to really move your business forward? And so we'll see how it shapes up as they work with the individual businesses throughout the 8 weeks. But Demo Day mid-March should be a moment where everyone in the community can come together to celebrate entrepreneurship, to be amazed at what we have here, because so many of those conversations happen all the time. Did you know about this company? No, that's really cool.
it's actually kind of remarkable sometimes. I was at an opening ribbon cutting for a business who has developed a business around using the iPad to fill in your medical records.
Yes, and they're hiring Seamless Medical.
Seamless Medical, and they want to hire, I think, up to 30 people in the next year or so.
Yeah.
So,
and we have such diverse businesses like that. The biotech and medical businesses are really taking off. And as you know, healthcare is it's the second largest employing industry in Santa Fe, and it's one of the fastest growing. Healthcare and education. We had a look at from the Department of Workforce Solutions as to where our job growth will likely occur, and healthcare is a big one that they project. These things sometimes, you know, information, getting people talking about something in Santa Fe is always hard, partly because there's a lot of stuff going on. And we're hoping that Demo Day can become a focal point and can really be exciting with the young businesses in the forefront with their energy and ideas. You know, it's not about somebody presenting what their organization does for the community. Not that that's bad, but we have a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And this will be about businesses and how they're changing the world.
Absolutely. So when Demo Day will be in March, mm-hmm. and the people participating in that or the businesses will have been already selected and been through 8 weeks?
Yeah. It's a little bit like a graduation. Uh-huh. They will be up there presenting what they've done, what they've learned, who they are, and having been through the project. And after that, I was asked yesterday at the Chamber's Economic Development Committee, what comes next? Which is a very good question. And because it's a pilot project, we've asked for more documentation and reporting on everything, and maybe not more, maybe that's the wrong word, but we've asked for a quite extensive amount of documentation and reporting in order to understand, was this a good model? What did it do? And the hope is that there are some very honest answers that can improve the next iteration if indeed it does what it's supposed to do and helps these businesses really accelerate, get going in their growth. But again, it's not easy. And I'm confident that the contractor we have working on this will give us an honest assessment as to the value of the program and the value to the businesses. I should say that businesses will get a little stipend for their extra work. I believe it's a $1,000 stipend that they'll get for going through the Velocity Project. And
that can't hurt.
That can't hurt. And they're putting together a slate of, nobody knows what to call it, but prizes. But we sort of thought, no, it's not as much competition because we hope everybody wins, you know, sure. all the businesses that are in there. But there will be a series of, whether it be manufacturing help or committed financing, there will be a series of things that businesses may get, prizes, if you will, as they go through and are deemed a good match for something. But, you know, I think the key thing is that the curriculum, that the coaching from seasoned mentors like Michael Roach, who have real on the ground practical knowledge of how to do it, will be priceless rather than, you know, worth $1,000 or something like that.
Sure.
I think the money's very secondary to what they'll be accessing through the program.
So this is, in a sense, kind of having an entrepreneur in residence program
mm-hmm.
going for 8 weeks.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And we hope someday it could even become a recruiting thing. I mean,
sure.
we've actually said that the businesses need to have a benefit to Santa Fe's economy, but they don't necessarily have to be here. I mean, they probably will be, certainly in the first one. But it would be great to have cool companies seeing us from afar and saying, I want to go to Santa Fe and be a part of that boot camp. And then maybe
sure.
they get stuck here. You know, it becomes a recruiting mechanism.
Absolutely. Well, this sounds very exciting, the Velocity Project. And what's the webpage again?
TheVelocityProject.com.
All right. Everybody check it out. And we're going to have to close today's segment, but I want to thank Kate Noble. Thanks for being with us, Kate, and thanks for your enthusiasm for this project.